Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times best-selling author and founder of the Peak Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio.
Okay, do you hear that little noise in the background? I think that's a nip and tuck going on there, Michelle.
With me.
Something about a facelift? I bet there are a lot of women out there saying nip and tuck. I wonder if it's for me. Well, today we're going to be talking about something everyone thinks about, especially after the age of 50, and that is whether or not you want to get a facelift and the things you need to know about facelift surgery. Dr. Peter Gildner, our wonderful, wonderful plastic surgeon who's been on with us in the past and is one of our great experts here on Her Radio, is one of Chicago's premier plastic surgeons and founder of the Gildner Center. All right, Dr. Gildner, let's just plunge right in.
I'm ready
for you. Facelift surgery. First of all, come on, let's just talk cost right off the bat. Forget all the other elements. What does this stuff cost anyway?
You know, it's like saying, what does a car cost? You know, the issue is that there are facelifts and there are facelifts. It really all depends on what's going on, what are the things that you have, what are the things that are making you look old that trouble you, and then kind of working from there to figure out how much time does it take, what kind of anesthesia does it take, and how do we do these things. So it can be anything from about, you know, $7,000-$8,000 totally to $20,000-$30,000. It really all depends on what you want and who's doing it.
And it's also different parts of the face. It's lower face and neck. It's upper face, including eyelids.
Whole face.
Exactly. I think that the again, we go back to the analogies, like, what does a car cost? I think that the point is, what are you looking for? You're looking for a compact, you're looking for an SUV, or you're looking for a luxury model. Each of these have different points. I think the most important point for any plastic surgeon doing a facelift, and also for any patient having a facelift, is make sure that you have an examination. What I mean by that is not so much heart, lungs, and whether your liver is good, but rather the question of what are the things that trouble you? Where are your brows sitting? Are they in a good place? How about your eyelids? How about the cheeks? Do they need to come up? Do they need to go back? Do you have too much fat in your face? Do you have too little fat in your face? So it's a question about looking in great details, feature by feature by feature. And as you go through, beginning at the top of the head and going all the way down to the bottom of the neck, there are lots of ways that we can do specific types of things. The biggest problem is that too often a patient will be convinced to have a procedure which is what that particular surgeon loves to do, irrespective of the patient's needs. So I think the point is, let the buyer beware. Look very, very carefully. What are the things that you want to do? What are the things that you see when you look in the mirror? And how can we make those things better?
Well, who's the best facelift surgery candidate?
That's a fairly straightforward but complex question. Anybody who's in reasonably good health, who has specific features that can be improved. If you bring me somebody, a Lindsay Vonn, let's say, and she says that I want a facelift, I wouldn't know where to begin. She's lovely, she's athletic, energetic, phenomenal athlete. So you've got nothing to do there. But if you have somebody with lots of particular bags and sagging areas and everything else, then I have a lot I can do. So the good patient for a facelift is one who has features that can be improved. But on the flip side of that, you want to have somebody who doesn't have particularly droopy skin. You want to have somebody in somewhere in their 40s or 50s. They make the most ideal candidates for facelifts because their skin is good. Go ahead.
What about risks? Tell us about what the risks are.
Well, there are risks with any type of a surgery, so that's fairly clear. The biggest problem that we have is bleeding. And so it's a question about being very meticulous, on the part of the surgeon, taking care of the bleeding, any blood vessels and those types of things, but also meticulous on the part of the patient to make sure that they're not taking any medication that can lead toward easy bleeding. A hematoma or an accumulation of blood is the expected result if somebody's taking aspirin. That's not an unexpected result. You know they're going to bleed. So you need to make sure that the patient is a decent candidate for these types of operations. Somebody with hypertension, we should make sure that they're well controlled before we go to that.
In what terms about of cutting nerves, things like this, you know, by well, accidentally nipping
nerves? We've seen that happen.
That's kind of a catastrophe. The point is, if you know what you're doing, you know where the nerves are, and you know where not to go. So it's you're not really dancing on the edge of a razor here. This is fairly straightforward anatomy, and if you're a skilled surgeon, barring horrible never events, it should not be a major issue.
Okay, well then what about the procedures themselves? So we talked about lower face, neck, we talked about eyelids, we talked about upper face, whole face. Are these kind of the main things that you do?
Yeah, the way that I divvy these up, if you will, is that, you know, where is the boundary? From my standpoint, doing the brow, doing the upper lids is one area. And if the patient has features that could be best served by doing both of them, I do them both. When we go down to the area from the middle of the eye going down toward the neck, one area interdigitates or connects so intimately to the other area that it's hard to imagine doing a facelift and leaving the neck alone. Because then you're going to have a really beautiful face, a youthful face, great contours. You're going to have this nasty thing hanging down below. It makes no sense. So the point is, always look at the patient. See what are the specific types of features which are causing the patient disharmony or unhappiness or what have you. And how can you put all of this together into one given procedure to give the best result?
Well, you know, the other issue is scars. Okay, and I think now one of the procedures that people use in the, and correct me if I'm wrong, is they're basically tying it up close to the ears and behind the ears. Is that true?
Sure, absolutely. That's not a new technique. That's been around for a very long time. The key is, how do you handle the scars? Where do you put them? And the best answer to the question is, you hide them as much as possible.
Amen.
Where I would want to caution your listeners is that there are some techniques out there that are called thread lifts and some of those types of things which try to obviate the need for any of these scars. They don't work. It's that simple. So the point is, don't believe the next guy selling the snake oil. It's not necessarily true.
So what's the recovery time look like? If you, let's say you have your whole face done, what are you looking at as far as time goes?
Generally speaking, my patients look pretty good the next day. I see them inevitably the next day to make sure that everything is fine. In the absence of much bruising, and usually there's extremely little bruising, there are little tricks that I do.
I was going to say, what are you doing?
I'm really, really careful. I'm a bit anal retentive, so I just make sure that I control everything very nicely. And as my skill set has grown and I've gotten older, and you know, you put a few hundred behind you, you're pretty good at it. So there are ways to make sure. You need to make sure that you're going to a doctor who knows what they're doing. But generally speaking, they look pretty good after about 1 week, 1.5 weeks. Everything that I need to do has already been done, and most patients feel pretty comfortable to be in almost any social situation at around 3 weeks. Having said that, I tell people, don't host a big charity event 3 weeks after your facelift. You're really putting a lot of pressure on me and yourself. But generally speaking, after about 2 to 3 weeks, you're good to go.
Excellent. So the cost then can range anywhere from $7,000 to, who knows, $30,000, depending on what you
anywhere.
Want.
And in certain areas. And in certain areas, New York, L.A., Miami, Houston, sometimes even more, right.
And your candidates are in good health, ideally in their 40s and 50s, but really, you know, you're looking at droopy skin, and you're looking at features that can truly be improved. And, you know, really, at the end of the day, you need a competent, board-certified plastic surgeon like you to be able to oversee everything. Thank you so much, Dr. Geldner, for once again being on Her Radio.
Thank you for being on Her Radio. You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. This is Michelle King Robeson with Dr. Pam Peek. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD, and go to empowerher.com/herchat to view upcoming chats.